Welcome back to Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. I'm Carl Gerke. We're hearing music from the Colorado-based group Dot Zero. That's a song called Just Because, recorded live in Denver. The band has been a part of the contemporary jazz landscape for nearly 25 years. Their music blends jazz, pop, R&B, funk, and rock. The group played at the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Festival in 2005 and 2010, and they're coming back to town Friday evening for a performance at the Orpheum Theater. With me on the line is the band's saxophonist, Stephen Watts. And Stephen, thanks for taking the time to talk with us on Dakota Midday.
Thank you, Carl, for the opportunity. I'm glad to be with you today.
Now, you're from Colorado. I'm wondering how important it is being from there. I mean, how important is that to the band and to the band's music?
Well, the thing about Colorado is it's home to us, and we've made no bones about the fact that we have no desire to be any other place. As far as our personal lives, then living in Colorado, my brother David, our guitar player, and I, we're natives of the Colorado area. And we took our name from a Colorado town, and it's one of those things where it's just been a great place, to live and raise a family and to be from. It's funny, a lot of people just they don't think that necessarily Colorado is a music mecca or anything like that that brings up and grows a lot of talent, but You'd be surprised, the amount of incredible music and artistic talent that comes out of this state is unbelievable, to be honest with you.
Now you and your brother David, you grew up playing music together?
We did. It's interesting. Our parents are both Midwestern people, and they brought us up with music being one of the hobbies that they put in front of us to occupy our time and to be a positive influence in our lives. And I think if they'd have known at the time that we were going to take it as far as we did, as far as being that serious about being professionals, they might have said, well, I don't know. But they gave us that hobby, and I'm thankful that they did, because it was truly a wonderful way to grow up and learn about life.
Did you grow up listening to both jazz and rock?
Oh goodness, Carl! We grew up listening to everything. I mean, we listened to Eddie Arnold and listened to Charlie Pride and a lot of country music from influence from my dad's side of the family. And then I remember going up to Red Rocks and seeing a Van Cliburn concert, and I was just stoked about that as well. So we listened to everything from classical to pop to the country. And then it was when we started getting into our high school age, the instructors around Denver, a lot of them were professional jazz players, and they were the ones that introduced the aspect of jazz into our lives. And so the whole idea of our musical experience has been a fusion of so many different musical influences, and that's kind of what we embraced as being a part of what we make our music. A little bit of everything.
When did you first come together as the band Dot Zero?
Well, we put the band together when we were in college. Dave and I went to the University of Colorado at Denver, and this was between the years of 1980 and 1984. And we always knew we wanted to do something with music after college, and it was funny because some of the best things that Dave and I got to do during college were separately. Dave was a part of the first national collegiate Dixieland champion it was a Dixieland band that did a competition through Southern Comfort and Brown-Forman, and they won a national competition, and they got to do toured all over America and played at baseball games. They were on Merv Griffin. I mean, all kinds of very cool things. And then I was in a part of the Salsa Oeste group, which was a group that was put together to be goodwill ambassadors to do a festival in Manila, the Philippines. And we ended up getting to go to the People's Republic of China at the time. And it was an unbelievable experience. But we weren't getting to experience these things together. So we always knew after college we were going to put together a band and see what we could do with it. And so I say 1985. A lot. 1986 is when we really got serious about Dot Thero.
Did you have the style of music? Did you have a jazz based music in mind when you first started playing together?
We did. We were influenced, you know, heavily by groups, jazz groups like the Yellow Jackets were coming on at the time. A group we were influenced by was Spyro Gyra and the Rippingtons. One of the groups that I was very influenced by growing up was called the Crusaders, because they were actually kind of formed a music form what some people call jazz rock. And to me, it was just a great it had all the elements I was looking for. It had the improvisation, the cool melodies, but there was a lot of improvisation and the beat was unmistakable. So we were influenced by that, and we just kind of, you know, instrumental music back then was I guess a lot more in the forefront than it is today. But it was natural to us because we'd listened to so much of it.
I'm wondering how frustrating it may be as musicians that I think a lot of people, whether it's a radio or listeners, are looking for a category that, okay, you play this style of music, or I think Dot Thero sometimes put in the smooth jazz category. But really, you're grabbing influences from everywhere.
Well, and that's true, and I couldn't agree more with you in that people definitely feel comfortable having a name tag or a genre to place you in. It's interesting because there have been groups that have broken that mold, you know, within our genre. Groups like the Gypsy Kings and groups like Bela Fleck and the Flecktones, and you know, they've kind of made their own niche. Even Bruce Hornsby, who's kind of goes back and forth between pop and jazz, and you know, to take it a step further, you know, Steely Dan had such jazz overtones within their pop music, and so to me it's interesting. The moniker that I was most comfortable with, you know, growing up was fusion, although because it seemed like it described the music and it described what we do to make the music. But you know, at the end of the day, what I prefer to, you know, if we were to have a moniker on us, what I would I would call us contemporary jazz. That's comfortable for me.
We only have about a minute left here. Dot Thero has played in Sioux Falls a couple of times. Do you like coming back to places that you've been before, where maybe you've created a relationship with an audience?
Yeah, most definitely. We've been, you know, telling people here at our own jazz club here in Denver for weeks now that we're going back to South Dakota, and we're looking forward to going back to a place where we found the people to be, you know, just very musically in tune and just enthusiastic about music and about live performance, and just, you know, in general, just very warm and real. I mean, that's something that is really, really inviting. And we've built some relationships not only within the people we've worked with the jazz festival, but with the fans themselves. And so it's exciting for us to get a chance to come back and play at the Orpheum Theater.
Well, Stephen, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us on Dakota Midday, and safe travels back to South Dakota.
Thank you very much for having us. I hope everyone can come out and join us Friday night.
That's Stephen Watts. He's saxophonist with the Denver-based contemporary jazz group Dot Thero. The band is in concert Friday evening beginning at 8 at the Sioux Falls Orpheum Theater. The concert is presented by the Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society. For more information, you can visit sfjb.org. And that's it for this edition of Dakota Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting. Thanks to all of our guests. We'll be back again tomorrow at noon Central, 11 Mountain, right here on SDPB Radio.